Some people report to work purely for the paycheck. For others, it's more than a job, it's part of who they are. Gregory Blackstock is a man who knows both of those experiences. If you were to chart his career path, it would go something like this. Dishwasher, 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 internationally renowned artist. Gregory is famous for drawing collections of objects like trains, crows, airplanes. Even when he just writes a list of words, there's something about the way they end up on the page that makes you want to look at them. Sound effect producer Jennifer Wing introduces us to Gregory and to the woman in his life who makes it possible for him to succeed in a world that, at first, neither of them knew anything about.
Before meeting 72-year-old Gregory Blackstock, I am prepared for this encounter by his cousin, Dorothy Frisch.
He's loud. He's big. He talks a lot. He wants an audience for the things that he talks about. So if you're in the room with him, he will corner you and talk for ever about what's interesting to him. There's no back and forth or give and take in a conversation. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
How you doing?
Let's see if these are the right cookies that you like.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Gregory Blackstock is autistic. His home is a small apartment in an assisted living facility in the Northgate neighborhood of Seattle. And on this day, what he wants to show us and talk about is a clip from the 1962 film It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And he's especially taken with the character Mrs. Marcus, who's played by Ethel Merman.
It's a mad world. How did Ethel Merman sound to you?
Loud.
In the country, drive on, you big stupid idiot.
Those are pretty harsh words, aren't they?
Yeah, but I like the movie so.
Gregory Blackstock, or Greg, as his cousin Dorothy calls him, has been labeled a genius and a savant. He speaks multiple languages he's learned over the years by listening to lessons on his record player. He plays the accordion, and he is a gifted artist whose drawings sell for thousands of dollars and are in collections all over the world. Greg adores Dorothy, and he knows that his current life would not be possible without her. Do you mind if I ask you what you love about your cousin Dorothy?
Mostly, getting me into world-famous artistry is the main thing.
That was a very, very important part of your life, too.
I needed that.
Why'd you need it?
I just want to get away from drudgery. I'm in the food and beverage business. I have to do drudgery all the time.
Before becoming a world-famous artist, Greg worked for decades as a dishwasher at the Washington Athletic Club in downtown Seattle. It was a place that treated him very well, but it was also a place he was happy to leave.
And now you can support yourself with your art. That's a pretty amazing thing after you retired from all that drudgery. That's very special, Greg. Not everybody gets to have a job that they love after a job that they didn't love.
Inside his apartment is a drafting table where he works. A bookcase is filled with volumes that have titles like Guide to Wildflowers of North America, Parrots of the World, Birds of Europe, and Dangerous Marine Mammals. He devours these books and catalogs what he learns onto paper. Dorothy unrolls one of the drawings Greg is working on.
Ooh,
what is it?
Ooh. Greg, can you read the title for her out loud?
Yeah, the Great World Moths.
The Imperial Moth and the White Witch Moth. Wow. His freehand images are neatly lined up on paper. They're often in color and outlined with black marker. They look like carved block prints. In this style, he has drawn bird wing butterflies, leghorn roosters, aphids, even outboard motor racing boats.
He has never drawn the third parrot from the left on his parrot drawing. That's the first time he's ever tried it. And it's on the finished drawing. His drawing is very static on the page, but it's very lifelike to him. He recently did a drawing of grizzly bears in different colors. He will walk around the room and do a fierce grizzly bear growl that he picked up from a old Disney television show about wildlife.
I'm just getting up close to him here.
I want to stay pretty far from grizzly bears, that's for sure.
Today, Dorothy is Greg's official guardian, but it didn't start out this way. In the 1970s, when Dorothy was heading out into the world, excited to build an adult life, Greg's mother wanted to groom Dorothy to be Greg's caretaker.
I was kind of watching him from the sides all the time saying, he's not my problem, he's not my problem, he's not my problem. But of course, I inherited him because there was nobody else.
Greg's parents were dead. His only sibling, his brother, also died. Dorothy knew that if she didn't embrace this responsibility, which she had held at arm's length for so long, that her cousin would end up on the streets.
He could so easily be homeless, and he would look just like the kind of homeless people that we all walk by and say, oh, you know, somehow that must be his fault or her fault that they're homeless. But he would have just plain run out of money and not have had any way to generate any more income.
The first time Gregory showed that he had a knack for drawing was years ago in the early 1970s when his mom was still alive. He drew a collection of tools on paper and showed it to his mother.
And she said, oh, it's great, but it's too big. I don't know how big of an impact that had, but he waited another at least 10 years before he started doing anything else.
When he did pick up a pen again, nothing stopped him.
Something in his soul would wither if he did not have the ability to put on paper what he wants.
The Washington Athletic Club, where Gregory washed dishes, put his drawings in its newsletters. And then one day, Dorothy's neighbor saw Greg's work in one of these mailings.
And this fellow was also an artist, and he said, oh, wow, this is great stuff. There's a name for this and a big market called outsider art. And I just said, well, that's just crazy. Coming late to the party, my understanding is that an outsider artist is making art for his or her own particular enjoyment and not at all for an audience. So I looked up and found an outsider art gallery in Seattle. I put together a cover letter, a packet of everything I could find that I'd saved from Gregory, and I sent it to them. And I didn't hear anything. Months and months and months and months later, they called. They had to see Greg. They had found that manila envelope behind a file cabinet and didn't know it was there until they moved. And then they opened it this up. Finding a treasure trove of undiscovered art was very much like Christmas morning for them.
Greg had his first art show a few months later. The first drawing to be purchased went for $750. Today, a collection of his work is published in a book. His drawings are turned into fancy puzzles and note cards sold in art museum gift shops. But here's the thing. Greg doesn't care about the money. It means nothing to him. What does matter are the compliments he gets from people. And he wants to know where in the world his work is on display. Despite his success, Dorothy worries about her cousin every day. When he leaves his apartment, people don't see a famous artist. What strangers see is a large, disheveled man who sometimes bumps into people without apology, a man who has a difficult time following instructions, and who is curiously drawn to people in law enforcement.
When we go through TSA at the airport, he always makes sure he salutes everybody there. How are you doing, officer? But He cannot obey verbal instructions to put his hands over his head so they can go through the scanner. Imagine if he's out on the street and somebody says, put your hands up or put your hands behind your back or something like that. He can't do it. But on the flip side of that, people are always surprising me with their kindness.
Wherever Greg goes, the bus, the library, restaurants, his regular haunts, people know who he is and they look out for him.
He has little angels all over the city.
Greg, we gotta go. I've gotta drop this off at the front desk. Do you want me to get rid of this box for you so it's not in your way? You're not gonna use it, right?
Trash.
Greg is extremely happy. Most of us would look at him and say, oh, that's really a shame. You know, he's got this debilitating mental illness. He looks like a dumpster fire. It's just too bad. But you could take 10 people at random and they're all less happy than him.
And what do you take from that observation?
Well, those lessons are hard to learn. I guess it would be to not put my own values on what a life well-lived has to look like.
As we say our goodbyes, Greg turns into an airplane. This is what he does when he's happy.
Okay.
Here you go now.
I'm gonna go.
He's an airplane.
Oh, you're an airplane. Okay.
Dorothy says her cousin's success with her as a bridge to the art world, as his guardian, makes her look at other vulnerable people living on the streets, a path that could have easily been Greg's. And she wonders to herself, what incredible talents do these men and women possess that we may never have the pleasure of knowing?